Hello, all you growers out there. Jordan River here. I want to thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. Little news before we get started. I got to talk to you about the Homegrown Helpers. If you haven't checked out Rob Smith's growing podcast, The Homegrown Helpers, first of all, go and subscribe. It's a great show. But there's exciting news around The Homegrown Helpers this year. It's changing format. Instead of Rob interviewing only consultants to help growers overcome their struggles, he's going to start interviewing home growers just like you. If you've got a unique perspective or a story to share and you're ready to help other home growers around the world, you can go to thehomegrownhelpers.com/interview and check out the form there. You sign up, you apply, and Rob's already got a great list of interviews set up. But if you think that you would be a great guest on the Homegrown Helpers in 2020 with the new format, go to thehomegrownhelpers.com/interview. And like I said, make sure you subscribe to Homegrown Helpers. Fantastic growing content. And we love spreading the love to the Homegrown Helpers, everybody. Today's episode of GrowCast, though, is with Rizo Rich, a fan favorite for sure. Rizo Rich has been growing for a long, long time. He's got an impressive grow if you've seen his Instagram. And he comes on to talk about his new company, Illinois Canna Consulting. He's now doing consulting work, and we talk about the state of Illinois, all the craziness that's going on, and then we move into some grow advice and get some of Rich's opinions. I know you guys like Rich, so you're going to love this episode. Before we jump in with Rich, though, let's give a little love to Newt Tools, everybody. If you don't have a Newt Tool, you should probably go get one. Just go to newttools.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off your Newt Tools. And mygrowpass.com members get 25% off their Newt Tools, everybody. That's right, newttools.com. Newt Tools created the Newt Needle. It's a very, very nifty device. It's an easy to clean, solid 100 milliliter syringe with a 14-inch stainless steel tube. It's a blunted needle that sticks out of there, and it is the perfect device to measure nutrients, apply nutrients, and mix nutrients into your reservoir. No more sloshing around, no more staining your clothes and your floor and wasting nutrients in your crusty old measuring cups. No way. Get the Newt Needle. It's like I said, it fits into every single bottle out there, so you can just extract the right amount of nutrients that you need, get it into your reservoir perfectly, cleanly, easily, and cohesively, everyone. NewtTools.com, promo code GROWCAST for 10% off, and MyGrowPass.com members get 25% off their Newt Tools. Okay, let's jump into the show with Rizo Rich. Thank you all for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please tell a friend about GrowCast and check out the Homegrown Helpers for more growing talk. That's by our producer, Rob Smith, loving the Homegrown Helpers, and the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. My new show is growing rather quickly, and it's not so new anymore, so come check it out, everybody. Today's episode, oh, yes, we have Rizo Rich, a show favorite, back on the line. What's up, Rich?
How's it going, Jordan? How are you doing?
Doing very well, man. Here we are in January in the great state of Illinois, which has now legalized. How does that make you feel, Rich? Did you ever think this day would come, or at least Illinois would be one to legalize? So I don't want to say so quickly, but, you know, next in line, does that surprise you?
You know, I thought the day would come. I definitely didn't think it would be that fast, or Illinois would be, you know, that quick about it.
Yeah.
You know, especially the way they like to drag things out. But,
yeah.
You know, they were very quick about it. And it's a good feeling. And I don't know, it's a bittersweet, I guess. It's nice that it's legal. It's nice to be able to have it on you or whatever. But like, growing rights aren't that great or anything. So it's, you know, it's got a long ways, but at least they're legalized and at least it's there. That's what I try to tell myself. And then, you know, like, what was it? The McCormick guy, Todd McCormick. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Todd McCormick.
On your show.
Yep.
Yeah, and he said, you know, the important thing is at least there's access to everybody. And I try to tell myself that a lot, too. Like, you can be pissed off about grower laws or this, that, or the other. But the bottom line is at least sick people have access now. And, you know, I'm going to do my thing regardless. So it's not like anything has changed. So I try not to look at it in a super negative way. But it's the laws definitely aren't great. But
yeah, totally. And I want to dive into what's happening right now with the market, what's happening right now with the laws and the prices and all this stuff. But before we dive in, why don't we talk about Illinois Cannabis Consulting? You've been working on this project for a while. It is now launched. Everyone can go to IllinoisCannaConsulting.com. That's Illinois, CANNA Consulting.com. Rich, tell me about what you're doing with ILCC, your short-term consultations, long-term consultations, your super soil, all that stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, you know, the way Illinois works is if you're medical, you can grow up to 5 mature plants. So, you know, I mean, I know you don't want to dive too much into the market, but it's going to be kind of hard not to. But the way that the dispensary prices are and everything, especially at the moment, I really wanted to get people growing that were able to get growing, or, you know, people that want to start up a facility or whatever. But, mm-hmm. you know, especially people medically that want to start growing for themselves, that don't want to spend thousands of dollars a month in a dispensary or hundreds of dollars a month. Those people should be growing for themselves. And I just, you know, I feel like, why not at least have myself available to those people? I've been doing it, you know, 10, 12 years now. So a little over 12 years. So, you know, if somebody wants to follow me along and they need help, I'd be more than happy to help them and get them going. And at least they'll know that they'll have a successful harvest under their
exactly.
belt their first time or whatever. You know, that's very important for these people. It's medicine for them. So, you know, it can't fail. You need
that's
to,
a really
and
good
I know
point.
That there's no guarantees with farming, but I think when you first start out, it always helps to have a successful grower kind of there
oh,
to help you and
help.
Hold your hand or whatever, you know?
100%. If you're going to invest $500 in a medical card after all the processes and fingerprinting and all that, and then invest
and then
in seeds, and then, yeah, and invest in all the equipment. You can make another small investment to get an expert in there to make sure that it doesn't, you know, go to shit your first
Absolutely.
Time. Make sure you don't, you know, do what that one person did, the Mary Beth Sanchez story, where they said, you know, I'm adding my nutrients. I even added 3 times what they recommended, and it's not working.
It's 'cause right.
Those are the kind of things you can easily avoid if you find someone who knows what they're doing. So that's really cool, man. And I know that you're really passionate about organic growing and passionate about discretion with your customers, which is really cool. So everyone needs
Definitely.
To check out IllinoisCannaConsulting.com. Very proud of what you got going on over there, man. And we look forward
Thanks.
To collaborating with you, you know, as the show grows and as we enter the 2020 year. But
Definitely.
Illinois, holy crap. Let's just talk about the Illinois market right now. I've seen horror stories. Like you said, the laws are very corrupt and constrictive. It seems to me very clear that Illinois wants to squeeze as much cash as they can out of the system.
Everyone.
In their
yeah.
mind. Now, the problem is, when you approach any project or money-making venture with just greed in mind, with just getting money, you're almost never going to make the right moves. That's yeah. that's just not how it works. You're going to be short-sighted. You're going to be focused on the complete wrong things, and you're going to end up
right.
reaping much less than you could have had you focused on things like, you know, providing value, fairness, ethics, free market, things like this. That's what really
not
makes
only
things
that,
go.
You know, the black market is going to thrive with the way that the prices are right now. I mean, the black market right now could raise their prices and still be cheaper than dispensaries.
Yeah,
that's craziest part. Like, you know, if you're selling black market right now in Illinois, your prices are cheaper than the dispensary already. Like
33%
cheaper. Somebody asked me the other day, like, you know, if you sold in Illinois, like, would you be concerned with it going legal? I'm like, shit, I would be raising prices if I sold, because, you know, I mean, it's insane. You know, I mean, the price. The taxes and everything out the door, even for medical people, are not that good in Illinois. You know, the first client I had for the consulting thing, they were spending over $2,000 a month.
Oh,
in
easy.
Medical at the dispensary, and they're like hoarding it like a crackhead, you know, what they have, which is obvious that they don't have enough.
Right.
It's like, why is this person needs to be growing? And over $2,000 a month in a dispensary for any meds is just, to me, is not good. It's,
yeah.
You know, that's greedy. It's disgusting. So, I mean, even for on the medical side, don't even get started on the rec. But yeah, I mean, on both sides, it's terrible. I mean,
yeah.
It's absolutely terrible. It's all about money. And like you said, people that are only in it for greed, they usually don't end up coming out on top. So
exactly.
It just makes me worry. It, you know, they're all about, oh, well, we don't want it you know, what are the people that talk about it, you know, oh, well, it's going to be access to the kids. Well, we don't want them going to dealers on the corner. Well, it's only going to strengthen the black market, like I said, with the way the prices are. So they're almost going against what they're preaching to people.
Yeah, there's
that are already against it. So it just looks bad all around. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed on that end.
Totally. For instance, the limiting of the cultivators, like they didn't allow home grow recreationally. They limit the medical home grow, and then they only gave like 22 cultivation licenses across the state of Illinois, which is one of the highest population states in the nation, with the city of Chicago included. So immediately when Rec launches, they run out of cannabis. Right now they are out of cannabis is my understanding. And that's because – so congratulations. Now sales, which you're overtaxing, have completely halted because of your greed. If you would have
– Oh, that's probably why I saw an article about why a bunch of dispensaries were closed over the weekend, and they made an excuse about how they were giving their workers a break from the rush from the first. No, it's probably because they're out, like you said, and they can't open their door because they ain't got no product.
It's 100% right. Like you said, the prices are absurd. It's like $60 for an eighth of flower out the door. Black market prices are about $40 for a flower. Oh, no, and I'm sorry, that's not 60 out the door.
60 with,
that's 60 before tax.
Before taxes.
Yeah, sorry, got that one wrong. I don't know what the tax is on flower. I know it's high. And then there's the additional, what is it? Anything above 35% THC gets some absurd, like 40% tax, right?
How long do you think it'll be before a bunch of flower starts testing above 35%?
You just try
seriously, to, long do you think before all these flowers that are at 30 or 31 or 29 all of a sudden are 36 or 35 and a quarter or 35 and a half and all of a sudden are able to be on this over 35% bullshit that they got going on?
You're probably right.
It won't be long before these, you know, in-state labs are being corrupt for that, if they aren't already. Or, you know, it's very sketchy the way they're doing things, like you said. I don't know.
So, yeah,
$60
exactly
before taxes is, that's insane.
I know a guy who's been selling weed illegally forever, and he's doing just fine. And he'll come and bring you an eighth for $40. He's doing great. He'll come and bring you an eighth for $40. And it's not great. It's definitely like some West Coast dank, clearly, but I get the feeling that it's synthetic, if not pretty like heavily, you know, it's black market weed. I think it came from Stockton, California. Sorry, don't mean to knock on Stockton, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they're spraying their plants with some stuff, maybe a little bit late into flower. It's not the smoothest profile. It's black market weed, but for $40 compared to 66 or 72 or whatever, and it gets you just as high.
Shit. Yeah, I have a buddy in Illinois that sells, and he always has five or six different kinds, and it's always super, super, super good. Probably the best stuff you'll see in a dispensary, if not better. I mean, it's top quality. So, I mean, it's there. The black market has, if you want shitty, if you want regular, you want mid-grade, you want, you know, high-grade, and it's all, you know, $50 an eighth for top. For like, you know, the best stuff I can find is going to be 50 and 8.
Totally. I don't think anyone would pay over 50.
So it's still cheaper, you know? Yeah. I mean, who's going to pay 60 without taxes, and then with taxes at least 70 to 80 to $90? Give me a break.
Right? Yeah.
And then you probably open it up and it's, you know, the bottom buds or, you know, maybe not even an eighth. I've seen their quarter jars.
I've seen some pictures online that were sad.
Not even a quarter, dude. How is that a quarter in that jar? You know, it just doesn't make sense.
But. Totally. And then it gets really nefarious. I was in one group. We are going to get onto growing talk, by the way. Sorry, guys. I do want to spend time on this because it's an interesting subject, especially to me, someone who's lived in Illinois for the majority of my life. But then you get to the really nefarious stuff, which was I was part of a Facebook group for Illinois, and someone posted a gram of concentrate that they bought, and they went home and weighed it, and it was 0.8. So they were just straight up shorting their patients. So that's like, that's
not cool.
That shit's illegal. You can't just do that, right?
No, I think it would be false advertising then, you know?
It can't be, right? So, yeah. And then to cap off this tirade, didn't you see some screenshot of a $300 receipt for 3 grams of concentrate? It was like $75 each plus the tax.
Yeah, I think it was either 3 grams or it was either 3 grams or it was a gram of concentrate, a half gram of concentrate in a cartridge, and then an eighth of flour. either way, those three products came to $225 before taxes, and then with taxes came out to like $301 and some change.
Oh my God, that's wild.
So like, you know, something you could get on the black market for $120 all of a sudden is $300. Like,
that's so crazy.
It's just crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. They think people are going to, and I guess people will, but you know, I mean, it's only, like I said, it's only going to help the black market thrive. And you know, it's, and especially with, like you said, them not licensing a lot of stuff. So like all these people that are growing can't really go in and hook dispensaries up and keep their shelves full. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
they haven't helped themselves at all in any way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we need more people like Rich empowering the home grower. That's what I'm all about, man. What have people been coming to you about? Let's talk home grow. Have you noticed are some hot topics when it comes to people who are looking for this kind of guidance, who are looking for help?
A lot. The biggest thing for the people I've talked to are equipment, you know, what to buy.
Ah, man, there's so many products now. That makes sense.
Stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest things that I do when I take a client and they want to get set up is, okay, let's figure out what you want to do. Oh, you want this size tent. So like, I'll make up a list of the tent, the light, everything that they need. But for each item, it'll be like, okay, here's the very cheapest tent you can buy from this website for this much, or you can get a mid-grade one, or you can overpay for a super expensive tent that's probably going to be the same as the bottom two, but it's going to be a name brand and it's going to be probably a couple hundred dollars.
Right.
So I like to give them the option, instead of being locked into one company or one brand, you know, you can pick from these different levels of each item and decide what you want. And here's the pros and cons of buying each one too. Like maybe this one is cheaper material, or maybe this one is out of China, so you don't have American customer service like you have with the expensive one. You know, it's all just going to depend on stuff like that. But I do like to give people the option to choose, instead of just being like, oh, here's the, you know, the 2x4 or the 4x4 that you want to buy, and it's this much. Like, there's so many options now out there. You know, you don't, it doesn't have to be like a hydro store where you go in and they only have one brand of tent. If you're lucky, they might have two, you know?
No, like, that's a good point. Yeah.
There's 40, 50 brands of tents out there now that are dirt cheap, and I've bought a lot of them and used them, and a lot of them are still standing fine. So, you know, there are a lot of options out there for people. Even when it comes to lighting, you know, you don't have to buy the $400 CMH light or the, you know, $300 HPS. There's a lot of different options. And I feel like when people, you know, like I said, I feel like they should have the right to choose. But I feel like when they see that too, without somebody guiding them, it's very confusing, you know, like,
oh God, it's overwhelming.
Don't know what to do when it comes to the equipment itself. And if you can't get past the equipment, how are you ever going to get started growing?
That's a huge majority of starter questions. You're absolutely right. And even if you can just narrow it down to three options, you know, a cheapo, a mid-grade, an expensive grade.
I try to, yeah.
And that's a great way to put it, because you're going to find those three versions of basically every major cannabis equipment. Yeah, exactly. Whether it's the nutrient line you buy, or the grow tent, or the grow lights, or the fans, you can go like no-name China imported cheapo. You can go mid-grade, or you can go top-of-the-line brand name. And I see people swear by different levels for different aspects and kill it. You know what I mean? So it really just depends on what they want to do.
It depends on the kind of person you are. And I feel like I'm going to have, you know, with so far as clients go, you're going to have the client that doesn't want to spend a shit ton of money. And then you're going to have the client that has, you know, doesn't care how much money they spend and wants to buy top-of-the-line of everything because they think that it's going to do some kind of magic for them to, you know,
that's also true.
Buy everything.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if I had the money, I might do that too.
Person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, me too. If I had all the extra money, probably, you know, I'd probably buy the top of the line shit, but there's that like everybody is on a different level. So
totally.
To go in expecting everybody to buy one kind of thing to me is silly, because not everybody's going to want the cheap tent and not everybody's going to want the expensive tent.
Nice.
So, I mean, I feel like you need to give them the options and, you know, take it from there. And like I said, it's very important to give them the pros and cons of each one too, not to just be like, oh, here's a cheap option, here's an expensive one, and set them up to fail either. You know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. What do you say when people ask you about lights? I mean, I know for instance, when we take a look at
I'm honest.
Sorry?
I was just going to say, I mean, I'm honest about it. I'm an HID grower, but I give them the options of all of them and, you know, the benefits of it. Where are you going to be growing? You know, if you're in a bedroom, you might be better off with LEDs, not dealing with a bunch of extra heat, you know, right, if you're willing to spend the money on them. But if you don't have a bunch of money and you only have, you know, $120 for a light, then we're probably going to go a HPS or something that's $100, you know? I mean,
yeah,
this is, let's set you up with something that at the end of the day, you're going to get bank from, not a $100 LED light that's not going to do anything, you know? So it just, I don't know. I try to be honest and fair with everybody. I don't try to push HIDs on everybody or push just LEDs on everybody. You know, it really depends on everybody's situation and, you know, what they need or what they have.
What their space is, yeah.
Or what their space is, if they're in an outside area that they need the heat or, you know, it just really depends on a lot of factors. I try to be as neutral about it as possible and honest, you know, that LEDs are the future, but you don't necessarily have to grow with them and you're not going to get some magical bud from it either.
I like that.
You know, it's not going to be any, it's not, the end product isn't going to be anything magical that I couldn't have done with a CMH and an HPS put together or something.
Listen, you know? You might have different variabilities. You might have a difference here or there, but what you said was very right, important, which is it's not going to be some sort of,
you can grow some dank
right,
from
yeah,
either or, and that's yes, the bottom line. You know, I mean, if you want to go into efficiency, great, you know, it's just it once again depends on your setup and if you need heat or what, you know.
Yeah,
so,
very,
I mean,
true,
you just have to look at what people need and what they want to do. You know, a lot of people want to do LED because it's newer, so
totally,
I understand that, you know, and try to give them the option. And do
that's
they want to
cool,
build
man,
a light, you know, I'll give them the option of like a build their own light or already pre-made LEDs. I try to do that too when I get into lighting.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we gave those kind of like three categories earlier. The other category is building your own. Build your own grow
absolutely,
tent, build your own air ring.
A lot of people
yeah,
want to build their own light, their LED. You
yeah,
know?
Totally.
And it's, you can get a lot nicer light when you build your own. So I try to
oh,
give
really,
them the option when it comes to LEDs of like pre-made lights and then, you know, build it yourself, because you can get a little bit more for your money if you're building it
that's
yourself.
Cool.
And a lot of the time now I hear it's just, you know, connecting wires. It's super easy now. So why not do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. What do you like as far as brands when it comes to HID?
Brands? I really, for bulbs, I use a lot of the Philips bulbs in my CMHs.
Uh-huh.
And then for the HPSs, I've always used Hortolux. I really like them. I have tried some cheaper bulbs and honestly got very similar results.
Yeah, that's what Wolfman has said for a long time.
Like, I really didn't see, the only thing I would say that's different in the expensive bulbs and the cheaper ones would be maybe the spectrum will last a little longer on the Hortolux. Like, you know, I can get a little bit more time, I feel like, out of the Hortolux.
Ah, maybe sure. The longevity.
The
yeah.
But
the quality is about the same.
The other one might still fire up, the cheap one, but it might not be stacking the buds as hard as the Hortolux one is
right,
a year down the road.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
You know, you're going to get the longevity, but you can still go get a cheap HPS bulb and probably kill it, you know, if you change it out more often or whatever. But I haven't seen a huge variable in the difference in them. CMHs, I have. I have seen a big variation in cheap and expensive bulbs.
Ooh, interesting. Well, what do you like there?
I tried a couple of the cheap bulbs, and they would run for a couple days to a month, and then they would blow. So, you know, I tried a lot of the cheaper ones because CMH bulbs aren't really super cheap to begin with.
And, right.
You know, for the wattage that they are. And I had to keep coming back to the Philips. It's the only one that didn't burn out on me or
nice,
hasn't burned out on me yet. So, you know, I want to try the Coltelex next. I know you guys work with them and I've been talking to them over there. So when I'm done with the Philips bulbs I have now, I'm going to give them a try and try some of their bulbs out. I like what they're doing over there. So.
Nice. Yeah, they seem like they're on point. We're going to do an interview with someone from the Coltelux team shortly. They've booked, so I'm excited to speak to them.
Cool.
What about fixtures? Do you have any ones that you love? Do you have any that you recommend people stay away from?
God. you know, I've been lucky with the fixtures I've had over the years that I really don't have anything that I can't recommend because I haven't had anything personally break down. I've heard stories from people of this or that, you know, but I still have old Hydrofarm ballasts from shit that my uncle had in the 90s that still work. Nice. I don't use them, but I still have them. I do have a Hydro Farm ballast that, that I have been running a few years, and somebody was running a few years before me, but it's from the 2000s and that's
running
my 1000
fine.
Watt HPS that I use. It runs perfectly fine. It's
right
great.
On.
It's like the greenhouse style, kind of like open ballast deal. You know, you look at it and kind of wonder if you're going to get shocked, but, but you won't. It's got a casing on it and stuff. And then I did buy some cheaper fixture CMH lighting. I don't know the brand offhand, honestly, but I want to say I paid for each light. Fixture with a bulb came to like $200 a piece or something. They were pretty
right
cheap.
On. Yeah.
You know, I want to say they were just some off brand I got from like an off hydro type of like online store type of thing. Nothing, not really like a big name brand. I do have an off brand, cheaper brand called iPower, like a 400 watt digital ballast that I've been running for quite a few years that still runs. And I've heard bad stories about them, but I've heard great stories too. And I've had good success with them, and you can get super cheap lights from them.
Nice.
So
nice. You know, good insight. Yeah.
Just my experience, but yeah, I've been very lucky. I haven't really, you know, had to deal with any actual fixtures like breaking on me or anything. Thank God as of yet. So very
yeah, totally.
Lucky in that aspect.
All right, before we get back to Rizo Rich, let's give a shout out to one of my favorite sponsors, Fish Shit by Fishhead Farms, everybody. Just go to fishheadfarms.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off your Fish Shit. And members of mygrowpass.com are receiving 25% off their Fish Shit, everybody. Fish Shit is a full-spectrum microbial product. It is truly an ecosystem in a bottle. You've heard about this, guys. It's an incredible microbial product that helps with all sorts of stuff. Heavy sustainable growth in veg. It works as a transplant aid. It can be used in flower to aid in bud development, in terpene production. Aroma and taste are off the charts. And it even breaks down salts and improves the flavor in your final product. So you can use it all the way through flush, and it is very effective. Because it's a full-spectrum microbial product, like we said, it is truly an ecosystem in a bottle. Use it from seedling all the way through flush. So many growers swear by their Fish Shit and can't grow without it. So check it out today. Fishheadfarms.com, promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. Members of MyGrowPass.com getting 25% off their Fish Shit, everybody. Okay, let's get back to the show. Taking a turn, what kind of diagnosing questions do you get from your clients, people writing you on Instagram, that sort of thing? Do you get a lot of, hey, my plant is sick, or I think I have this deficiency? Do you get that message a lot?
You know, as of right now, I haven't had a whole lot of that. The few that I have had were basically questions like that, or a lot of the time it's a picture of like a pest or something, and do you know exactly what this little critter is that's crawling around in my soil or up on my plant? That seems to probably be the most, even more than deficiency at the moment.
But, oh, interesting. And do you find a lot of the time these are just beneficial mites or just regular bugs, or are they actually pests?
Sometimes they're spider mites or, yeah, beneficials, fungus gnats. You know, it could be anything with the new grower usually. But like I said, most of the time it's usually something very easy like that. I mean, for a new grower, I don't think a lot of them have those best practices in yet. So, you know, it's easy to bring something into the garden, whether it's good or bad, and then they freak out or bring their pet in there or whatever. And all of a sudden something's crawling around in their tent, you know, a couple hours later and wondering what it is. So.
I know when I was a new grower, I used to freak out over every little thing, and I had to learn to not care
right.
so much. Have you found that to
Absolutely.
Be the case?
With specific people, yes. There's always going to be the few people that every little thing freaks them out, like you said.
Yep, that was me.
They want to know exactly, you know, oh my God, why is my plant wilting a little? I get a lot of the, you know, why is my plant wilting thing, so...
And what do you find that usually is? Is
overwater, underwater. A lot of the time for new people. No, a lot of the time for new people, it's their plants just going to sleep.
I was going to say that. You know? I was going to say, are the lights off?
Mainly, it's just going to sleep. Most of the time, it's not even over underwater. And sometimes it is. But I would say the good majority of them are just that the plant's going to sleep. It's been sitting in light all day and it's tired. Your lights just went off, or they check in it and it's dark, you know, when they stick their head in and they're like, oh my God, why are my plants so wilty?
They're drooping. Yeah. That's hilarious, yeah, dude. That was
for
me.
For new growers, it's always seems to be a big one is the droopy thing. And I get why it freaks you out, because you see them all, you know, turgid and looking good and praying to the light when the light's on and beautiful. And then you poke your head and you're like, holy shit, are they dying?
Yeah, they can make a move.
What's going on?
That's a good
point. For
a
new person, it can be kind of scary, I guess. So I do understand it. But yes, that is a huge one. And it's just going to sleep.
That's pretty funny. I generally find the brand new growers fall into, well, there's a couple different categories, but two big categories are so lazy you can't get them to do the basic maintenance.
Yes.
Or my side, which is so obsessive
into it
and so into it that it's like, dude, just calm down. Yeah, so that's what I tend to see the two, like, new grower
that's
fields.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly what I see. And I will say that people that are more anal about it tend to be the more successful ones, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but they're also,
you know what I mean?
Way
I know
more
it
stressed
sounds
out
obvious, and but I have a lot of the lazy ones that, first of all, I will say it is so hard to get somebody who hasn't bought equipment yet to buy equipment.
Sure.
Like, there's so many people that want to freaking get started growing, and they ask you about it, and you give them a list. And, you know, this has happened on numerous occasions, even with, like, my best friend this year really wanted to, you know, back in on the East Coast, really wanted to get going, set him up with everything, genetics. I sent him a bunch of free shit for his first run, like a soil pack that he could add to some local soil to, you know, get him some awesome, like, you know, basically a pre-mix super soil thing and some teas, sent him some CalMag and some other shit.
Couldn't pull the trigger.
First time. He bought the equipment, popped the seeds. The seedlings died because he didn't check on them for a week after they broke ground, which I don't know what went through his mind to think that, like, you know, it's okay to just leave them alone the first 7 days when they break the soil and not check on anything. And I don't know what happened, but, oh, and I think actually he may have fried them with the light. They were probably too close and the light was probably way too
much. Classic mistake. That's a normal beginner mistake.
But yeah, after that, I mean, the equipment just sits in the closet, not set up in a corner, and he won't grow. He won't even attempt it anymore. He asks me all the time for seeds, like he wants to get started up. But if I give them to him, it's like nothing ever happens. So.
Yeah.
You know, you either get that kind of laziness or like I was saying, like a lot of people really want to, I wouldn't even call this laziness. They just have a really hard time pulling the trigger on buying equipment. You know, I don't know if it is that their money's so tight or that, you know, I know a lot of people, including myself at certain times, like it was tight money. Like I had enough money to buy the weed that I needed. And if I wanted to save up for equipment, I basically would have had to stop smoking for a certain amount of time to save that money up. And
yeah,
I think that's hard for some people, but I think that is a big thing is for some people that say they want to get growing, but actually never do is they just can't pull the trigger with buying equipment. It's very hard for them to spend that amount of money. And, you know, even if you set them up with some kind of setup that's only a couple $100 at most, or, you know, $200-$300, they still have a hard time.
That initial plunge, for sure. I think it's a combination of the money and then spending the money and then also just the commitment of it. And I think that's probably why, you know, most people listening to this show should give themselves a pat on the back, right? Growing your own.
If you never set up, you're kicking ass just for buying the stuff and trying, because a lot of people say they want to, but they just don't have the heart to actually do it. Or
that's a good word. You know, don't have the heart for it. They don't have the stomach for it.
Into the future enough, which I think kind of comes into the heart thing. Like if they would just look down the line a little bit, like I get it. I need to save this amount of money. It sucks. I can't get my coffee for a couple weeks or a couple months, or I can't buy my bag for a couple weeks or whatever, you know, like, look at the payoff of it down the road. You're going to get that equipment set up and you're eventually not going to have to rely on anyone else. It pays for itself in the first harvest. I promise you that, you know, I mean, you usually can get it to pay off the first harvest, if not the second for sure.
Those are some wise words. And that's exactly right. Everyone who is listening to this and is growing their own, they should give themselves a pat on the back for having the motivation, the follow through, the savviness. Like you said, just being savvy. This is how it should be done. I think that you can get lost in whatever part of your current harvest you're in, whatever part of your cycle and all the trimming you have to do. But to take a step back and pat yourself on the back, maybe think of some harvests gone by and be proud of yourself. I think that that's a real message that people should stop and take the time to kind of experience, you know?
I agree.
It takes a lot, you know, it's a little job
taking care of your garden, even if it is a hobby, you know?
Man, what else are we going to do, right? We're here on this planet. We can either, you know, just fuck around and look at Facebook all day, or we can have our little garden and go through our harvest cycles and
it's super gratifying. Yeah. You know, you smoke your own flower and you're like, I grew this. This is mine. You know, that alone is enough to make you feel good.
Incredibly rewarding. You're absolutely right. It
is. Yeah. Especially your first time. The first time you ever smoke a flower that you grew is probably the best feeling, even if it's not that great, just because you're like, wow, this is, I've never seen weed.
That's
that
a good
I
point,
grew.
Man. I haven't like even sat smoke. And thought that. I haven't even sat down and thought about that in a while. The first time I smoked weed
right,
that I grew.
Neither have I, but wow. It just popped in my head now. And I'm like, you know, it is a very good feeling and it's something everybody should experience, you know.
Totally. I love that, man. Very poignant. How about some final advice before we wrap up the show here? If someone's growing, what do you think the most important thing to focus on is? What's your final advice to the grow world? Strategies, principles, character traits? What do you have to share?
I mean, just be open, you know, to learning new things. You know, don't think that your way is the only way or that your shit don't stink or whatever, you know. You know, there's always something to learn. I'm always learning. There's people that have been doing it for 40 plus years that are always learning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be arrogant, ignorant, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, good for you if you're doing good. But
keep an open mind
about it. Yeah, keep an open mind, be humble, be willing to learn, and be willing to help others, you know, especially. I think that is my biggest thing is try to help others in any way that you can, you know. Sometimes you're not able to give money or do, you know, things like that, but maybe you can take an hour out of your day to answer questions or emails because somebody needs help with something, you know.
I like that,
man. At least
man.
You're making a difference in some way. So just try to take time out and help people, and I think that helps you in your own growth too, you know, because you learn a lot of things that way, I feel like. So.
Yeah, and you get that good karma too. I like that. I don't know if anyone said that advice as far as when I asked them about growing advice, helping others and sharing the love. I'm sure it's come up before, but that's really cool, man. I'm glad you said that. And I totally agree. And that fits in perfectly with IllinoisCannaConsulting.com, your awesome new project. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. I appreciate all your help and everything you've done. Believe me.
Hell yeah, man. Of course. Everyone listening, make sure you follow Rich at RizoRichICC. Follow me at JordanRiverIG and the show at GrowCast. That's all on Instagram. Yeah, that's all, folks. We will see you soon with more GrowCast. This is Rizo Rich and Jordan River signing off, wishing you the best of luck in your grows. Be safe out there, people, and grow smarter. That's our show today, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our time with Rizo Rich. I know I did. Make sure to check out IllinoisCannaConsulting.com, everyone. Shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat for the ads. SoundCloud.com/JayBlanked. Stay tuned for more GrowCast, everybody. Got some great breeder features coming your way, some new guests, some old favorites. I'm really excited for 2020 with you guys. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Best of luck in your gardens. Happy growing, everybody. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.